Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Shell 3 Cents. And I am your host, Michelle Murray. So I'm hearing a lot of grumbling about the census coming up next year. The deadline to submit your census form, because a few people in Los Angeles County have already gotten it, is going to be April 1st of 2020. And if you don't turn it in, you can expect census workers to be knocking on your door as early as May 13th of 2020. And they're going to be knocking on doors until July of 2020. But one of the chief complaints I hear is that homeless people aren't being counted. And that is absolutely false. The Census Bureau is, in fact, planning to count people who are living or staying in the homes and shelters or group quarters. At friends' homes, or just who visit regularly the soup kitchen. So don't worry, they are. They're looking at all the RV parks, the campgrounds, the hotels, the motels, and there is the intent to count everyone. And part of that is because there's more than $800 billion in federal funding that hinges on that census. So it's really important, folks. You know, don't grumble. I know it's another piece of paper you don't want to have to deal with, or another person you don't want to talk to, but that's really impactful. That census or that count can have massive impacts on program funding and fair congressional representation here in the state of California. So you want to make sure that when you get your forms that you're filling it out and you're talking to any census workers that turn up. And just remember that by law, it is required that you fill that out. So in other news, Los Angeles County health officials are investigating a measles outbreak. We've heard about measles outbreaks all over the country, and now it's in Los Angeles County again. So the department confirmed 5 known cases of the disease. 4 are linked to one person who traveled internationally, and the 5th one comes from an overseas traveler. And one of those persons is confirmed to be a UCLA student. So if you're over at UCLA, you might want to check with your doc and make sure you're fully vaccinated. And despite what we hear about vaccinations, the measles vaccine is 97% effective after 2 doses. And most of us get that before kindergarten. So you probably are protected if you've had your vaccinations, but it doesn't hurt to double check if you have a question. Protect yourself, but most importantly, protect those babies. Protect your children. So that leads us into today's guest, Ms. Zoe Sanchez-Richardson. And this lovely lady and her beautiful family are making a tremendous impact for kids in the foster care system. She has the heart to serve and serve she does. You know, and she's encountered many hurdles in her own life. And that's one of the things that's so amazing about this woman. But she continues to serve and to give selflessly. You know, Zoe's definitely not one to back down from a challenge. Okay, she's donned a crown as Mrs. California Plus America, and all the while staring cancer straight in the face. So that should tell you something about her character. And I'm so excited to have her here today. Zoe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me. I'm very, very excited.
Absolutely. I'm excited, too, because what you're doing is just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And many of my listeners know this story, and I've shared this story with you. I had a cousin, he and his wife died literally days apart, and his kids wound up being orphans. His sister and I were both in the military. She was in Turkey, I was in Germany. And the long story short is back then, because this was in the 90s, they didn't think a military life was suitable. And those babies got wrapped up in that foster care system. And it's always broken my heart that there was nobody like a Zoe around to help them, because their lives literally got flipped upside down. Because some of the challenges they face in the system, in the foster care system, some of what they perceive to be humiliation or degradation, you know, and I look at you and you're like an angel, because I know how impactful the mitigation things that you do can be to these teens and preteens and babies that are in the system. So I'm super thankful and super excited about the work that you and your family do. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's, you know, for us, it's our story actually started nearly 9 years ago when my husband and I first met. We had actually talked about having children together, and because of my battle with cancer, We didn't want to take that risk, but my husband was also born with a disease called spina bifida, where the spine was outside of his body. Luckily, he was blessed to have an amazing surgeon put his spine back in when he was only 2 weeks old, and he was fully abled body, was able to have and still has his career in law enforcement. But with that being said, we made the decision that we would not, have any kids together. So I knew that that was something, you know, very important to him. And we decided to look into the foster care system. And about 3 years ago, we were blessed to be, we had a sibling set of girls placed in our home. And with that being said, when our first child came to us, she literally came to us from another foster home with the clothes just on her back. She had a teddy bear and that was it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had asked for like, well, where's all her clothes? And we were told that the previous foster family decided that they were going to keep all the clothes. And that since mm-hmm. we wanted to permanently adopt her, that it was now our responsibility to, you know, get her clothes and so forth. And so that was a little, you know, we were a little shocked by wow. that. And then when her sister joined our family, her sister came to us with all her belongings in a trash bag. And mm. it was just like a trash bag. I mean, none of us, we, when we travel and stuff like that, you know, be it on a slight, you know, mini vacation or a long-term vacation, you don't see people going on airplanes or cruises or, you know, Greyhound buses or, you know, just in your car with trash bags. You put it in a suitcase, right. You put it, you know, in a duffel bag. These are, you know, your belongings. But to tell a child, okay, go get a garbage bag and this is where your stuff needs to go. I mean, it is absolutely, you know, so humiliating. Mm-hmm. And I remember mm-hmm. the first time we told our girls we were going, in fact, they had a cheer competition and we're like, all right, you know, you guys need to pack your stuff. And we were completely flabbergasted that they both went underneath the kitchen sink and grabbed a garbage bag. And we're like, mm-hmm. no, this is not, yeah. this is not what we do. And so we started.
To. Yeah,
exactly. So, and then we started noticing that throughout the foster care system has camps. For children, all different type of fun activity camps. And we noticed that every time we were dropping our kids off, you know, they had their, you know, their suitcase, their rolling suitcases and stuff. And majority of, I would probably say a good 95% of the kids being dropped off, their belongings were in trash bags. So I started, you know, talking to, you know, a lot of the foster parents and I was like, hey, like, do they not have suitcases? Like what's going on? And they're like, I'm like, oh, they're foster kids. We just put their stuff in a trash bag. And that mm-hmm. was so, like, there weren't even words for, you know, for that type of, you know, I was just so utterly angered, you know, by that because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, these children have come to us, you know, with so much, you know, issues and problems and they're just trying to have, you know, a normal life. And mm-hmm. then, you know, if you sit there and just tell the child, okay, yeah, you're going to camp, but your stuff is, you know, we're going to throw your stuff in a trash bag. And yep, that's how you transport. I mean, they never understand or really, you know, value or even have, you know, any self-worth. So, you know, right. for us, it was, you know, very, very important. And, it, you know, it all started, you know, with our daughters and they were like, well, mom, you know, can we start giving, you know, other kids and stuff that we know in the foster care suitcases. So when we see them next time, you know, at camp, you know, they can come with a suitcase. So it literally just started, you know, like that, you know, several mm-hmm. years ago. And there was actually a Eagle Scout in San Diego County who was a foster child, was blessed to be adopted. And he actually did something very similar with duffel bags. And then the district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis, she actually incorporated a program, which we're completely blessed, you know, to have, where, you know, all the foster kids and stuff are given, you know, a blue duffel bag, but it's still not the same as, you know, like this is, you know, here's a suitcase, you know, this is how you travel. You know, it's just teaching them, you know, normalcy and, you know, having, you know, self-worth and, you know, respect for, you know, for their items. So, yeah, we started.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, you know, we started this, you know, we've been nearly doing this, you know, for, you know, 3 years now. And this year we are, you know, really, really pushing, you know, harder, you know, more harder than ever, because my husband and I recently attended a training class, which are required as, you know, foster parents to do. And in that training class, they were telling us the amount of kids that are in the state of California alone, that there's so many that they are having to, and I quote, and I really hate to use this term, but they are having to ship nearly 4,000 kids per month out of the state of California into other states. So, I mean, I know exactly, you know, what's happening is there's, you know, a mass shortage of, you know, foster parents, but at the same time, these poor kids who are having to go and travel, you know, and go, you know, to other family members or to other foster homes in other states, they're literally leaving, not with their stuff even, you know, boxed up in a box or anything. It's throw your stuff in a trash bag, and that's how we're sending you.
That breaks my heart. You know, if you think, I travel very frequently, I'm all over this country and, you know, all over the world, and I travel a lot with my pets. Even with my pets, you know, I carefully place their things in some sort of little luggage or bag so that we take care with it. You know, so, and it just breaks my heart that we've kind of dehumanized these kids, and just put your stuff in a trash bag. Like their things don't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what's mixed up in that bag, what's breakable, what's not. No, I'll just put it in a trash bag. And that really breaks my heart.
Yeah,
but it makes
me
happy
that we are just trying to be part of, you know, the solution and help, you know, and being down here, you know, in the San Diego County area, that's, you know, our area, you know, of focus and so forth. And, you know, the more kids that, you know, we can get to and, you know, and help, you know, that's just going to be that many more kids that are, you know, is going to have a change of life. Because what people don't understand is that, you know, when you are not in the foster care system, you don't see the other, you know, the worst side of it. I mean, these children, you know, when you give them the simple hairbrush or their own toothbrush, as, you know, as crazy as that sounds, you know, simple hairbrush, a toothbrush, you know, anything that you tell, you know, the child that this is yours, I mean, they value that as if you were giving them $1 million.
No.
So, you know, it's one of those that, you know, it's like, you know, like we are, you know, taking our children and stuff. We've adopted two. We're currently working on our third adoption. We are getting our fourth and fifth placement. Our goal is to adopt 12 kids. And, you know, we've continuously talked to our kids about how, you know, next year we're planning on, you know, a trip and stuff to go to, you know, China and stuff for 2 weeks. And our child, who is currently working on coming into our home, you know, she was asking us, you know, the question. She's like, you know, well, you know, how do airplanes, you know, take people's trash bags? How do they, know, like, you know, whose trash bag is who if everyone's trash bag is either, you know, black or white? You know, and that was, you know, that was really, you know, hard. And I was like, no, I was like, your items when you travel are in a suitcase. There's no longer, you know, traveling, you know, in trash bags. Like, this is not, you know, this is not the normalcy, you know, of the world and stuff. So it's, you know, just reteaching them, you know, over again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So how can my listeners support this gathering of the suitcases? Because I know I have tons of people that would love to help. And we've got people all over the world. So let us know if they're there in San Diego or LA, or if they're some other location in the world, how can they support this project?
They can, so we are asking for suitcases that are gently used suitcases to even brand new suitcases, and they don't need to be expensive, you know, suitcases. My children take a lot of time, their allowance money, and they go to like Ross, they go to DD's discounts where they can, you know, find suitcases for $8, $10. And we take them straight over to an organization here in San Marcos, California called Straight from the Heart. It's a foster care thrift store. And if listeners are in other counties like Los Angeles County, Riverside County, you know, San Bernardino, you know, any county that you're basically in and stuff, you can call up to your local Child Protective Services office, and you can go right there to the office and, you know, meet with one of the social workers who would gladly take, you know, the donations. They are always seeking donations for all the children.
That's great. Let me ask you this. Somebody's on my chat and they're asking me how can they participate in California to be a foster parent. Can you give them a little insight where they can start?
Absolutely. It depends on what particular county that you're in. Yeah, we are in San Diego County and stuff, but you can just type in Google, you know, foster, you know, how to become a foster care parent, and then just put your particular county. The way it works down here in San Diego County, you have to attend an orientation class. It's about a 45 minutes. From there, you fill out your application. They review your application. And then basically immediately, you have to take what's called TIPS, trauma-informed parenting classes. And basically these classes are preparing you as a, you know, as what to expect, you know, from these children, be it, you know, from a, you know, newborn, a baby, a toddler, a preteen, you know, to a teen. So you get your choices of what, you know, what ages and stuff that you want to foster, you know, and potentially, you know, adopt. And so from there, after you put, after you go to your training classes and so forth, they will do a, they will come in and do a face-to-face interview with you. They will also come in and inspect your home to make sure, you know, you have adequate, you know, housing. And I want the listeners to understand that you don't have to be a millionaire to be a foster parent. They are just looking for good people with, you know, loving hearts, loving homes. You can live in an apartment and be a foster parent. You can rent a home. You can, you know, be a homeowner. They are just, you know, looking just for a safe environment for these kids. And then the whole process takes, you know, anywhere from approximately 4 to 6 months. It just depends on how diligent, you know, and how fast you're willing, you know, to work, you know, to make the process happen.
Mm-hmm. Super. That's great information. You know, as I listen to what you do and I see you on Facebook, I always think of that adage that says it takes a village to raise a child. I think that's especially true with respect to foster children. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, does our society remember that with respect to these kids? Or do you think these kids are kind of forgotten? Or what's your take on that?
In regards to, you know, that it takes a village to raise a child, I 100%, you know, believe, you know, in that. It's not, you know, that was a quote that was, I remember, you know, my grandmother, you know, saying and stuff. And it was back in the days that, mm-hmm. you know, we would go outside and play. And we knew mm-hmm. not to clown around or to act up because our neighbors would sit here and have no hesitation, you know, to come outside and, you know, lecture us or say, hey, you know what, knock it off or I'm going to sit here and go tell, you know, your parents. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. sometimes, and with foster kids, it's almost, I think people, or rather society, has put the blinders on. And it's the, you know, you're mm-hmm. out of sight, out of mind, so I really don't, you know, need to worry about this. And, you know, the problem at hand is that, you know, these kids are just normal, everyday kids. They were just put in circumstances that were completely out mm-hmm. of their control. I have not met one foster child that was like, hey, I'm so glad to be in foster care. Like, this is the best right. thing, you know, in the world. So, you know, I'll give examples of, you know, because I can talk about, you know, my girls that, you know, I've adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And our youngest, when she first, you know, came to our home, she was 6 years old. She did not know how to properly hold a utensil the first night that we sat at the table. She literally walked over to my plate and with her bare hands grabbed the food literally right off my plate.
No.
And she did not know that it was, you know, that type of behavior, you know, was unacceptable. She didn't know how to read. She didn't know how to write. She didn't know her colors. So, you know, we had to sit here and backtrack, you know, and reteach all of this. And then when our 10-year-old had joined our family, she had not been in school at all. She'd been homeless, you know, both of them siblings said. So they've been homeless, you know, on the streets, dumpster diving daily for food, panhandling. Mm. And, you know, so it was, you know, the amount of stories that, you know, I hear from, you know, our daughters, you know, saying how they would walk up to people going, you know, I'm hungry, you know, I need help, you know, and people would just absolutely ignore them. And, you know, for me, I don't want viewers to, you know, get a bad impression of me, but it's one thing to have a child walk up to you and to tell you that they're hungry compared to, you know, having an adult. You know, the adult, then, you know, I'll start questioning whether, you know, oh my gosh, you know, are you, you know, going to go out there and use the money for drugs or, you know, something like that. But basically what it took was we call this individual, you know, our angel, but they saw our daughters come jumping out of a dumpster and called the local police, and the police came and picked them up. And as my daughter said, that was the best birthday present that she ever got, because this will happen. She was picked up the day on her birthday, and so she said that for her, that was, you know, her, you know, her best present and gift, you know, that she ever got. But, you know, I really think, you know, there's so much, you know, pencil pushing and paper pushing, you know, when it comes, you know, to foster care and so forth, that, you know, these kids get lost behind, you know, all the paperwork, you know, behind, you know, all the closed doors and so forth. And, you know, they just want to be normal. I remember our 10-year-old, her first year, you know, we had told the kids, we have a Santa Claus mailbox that we put out, and we always tell our kids, you know, make sure you write your letters, you know, to Santa Claus. And we pulled her letter out, and in the letter there was nothing about gifts. There was nothing about anything. The only thing she had asked Santa Claus, she's like, if you are really real and you can give me anything, she's like, the only thing that I want from Christmas time is just to be normal like other kids.
Aww.
So that, you know, that really hit us, because it was like she wanted to be able to read and write and, you know, do everything else, you know, the other 10-year-olds. So, you know, we were able to get her tutors and, you know, special teachers and so forth. And, you know, by the grace of God and stuff, she's all caught up now. She's, you know, an A, B, and a few C's. she does not like history. She's not like history at all. But yeah, she's, you know, they're doing great and stuff. They're actively, you know, in Girl Scouts. They are doing competitive cheer. They both do great in school. One is learning, you know, to play the guitar. The other, you know, plays the piano. You know, they are very much, you know, they're very much thriving. And then, you know, our third child that, you know, we're in the process, you know, of adopting and stuff, you know, she's a straight A student, and she does competitive cheer along with soccer and basketball and swimming. So, you know, all these children want is just a home where someone truly loves them, and, you know, that they know that they're not going to be, you know, abused in any way, and that, you know, when they come home, they're going to have food on the table. They're going to have someone that's going to tell them, you know, that they love them. And, you know, it's, they just want the normalcy of what, you know, they know that the world has to offer.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you for contributing to that. Sincerely, thank you for contributing to that. So how can my listeners, you know, contact you or keep up with your activities? You do a lot for the community and for this world, not even just your own community. You do a lot. So how can people keep up with you? I don't know if you have like a Facebook or an Instagram or something, but how can they keep up with you?
If they want to follow me on Facebook, it's Zoe Sanchez Richardson, and it's a picture of me wearing my crown when I was Mrs. California Plus America, and now I am Miss California Plus America Ambassador. So please friend request me. If anyone has, you know, any questions, you can definitely, you know, Facebook Messenger me. I, you know, be more than happy to connect people, you know, to get them, you know, to become foster parents and, you know, answer any, you know, questions and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so, so much. So we're going to wrap up. My clock is blinking at me, so our time's coming in. But again, thank you, and I appreciate all you're doing to make my world a better place and to make, you know, my son's world a better place and just everybody. You're such a beautiful person. And I hope to bring you back on and talk to you about one or all of the many other projects you're involved in. So thank you so much, and you have a great rest of the day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too, Michelle. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.